Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Calder. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. We've been studying through the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus Christ. Now, let's ask the question. How much did Mary, the mother of Jesus, know? And how much did Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, know? Because they were the two most important women at that time. And probably in the whole history of mankind. Did they just kind of go along with everything and not know anything? Or did they know God? And did they know about God? Did they know about the prophecies? Did they understand what was happening in their life? Did they understand about these children to be born? And remember, John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus Christ. So let's first find out what happened. Because they spent 3 months together. A lot of people don't understand that. And in 3 months, don't you think they talked over a lot of things? Don't you think that they looked at the scriptures because Elizabeth's husband was a priest at the temple? Of course they had copies of the scriptures of what we call the Old Testament today with them. So let's see what they said to one another. And then we will in particularly see about Mary. And how... Let's ask the question, did we get these sayings? Because these are personal conversations between the two of them. Let's see what was preserved for us today. Let's come to Luke, the first chapter, and verse 39. Remember, the angel Gabriel informed Mary that Elizabeth was already 6 months pregnant. So let's see what happened. Verse 39, Luke 1. Mary rose up in those days and went in haste to the hill country in a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now notice what happened. Now this is written down. Their first person experience. Now, that's quite a thing to really realize. So what does this show? Mary and Elizabeth must have written these things down and kept notes about these things. And we will see a couple of scriptures which tells us what Mary did with them. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Amazing. 6 months old, hear the voice of Mary, the baby start kicking and moving around. And she was filled with the Holy Spirit to speak and prophesy her personal words. So you know they must have written them down after she had said them. Because they knew that what they were going through was a one-time experience in the history of the world. And she said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed be the fruit of your womb." Now, the Catholics repeat that as a mantra and just a saying all the time.
So why do Catholics worship Mary? Let's discuss. We don't worship Mary, so let the record show, spoiler alert, Catholics don't worship Mary. But then the further question is, why do you pray to her? Why do you venerate her? Why do you spend so much time talking about her as Catholics? It's viewed a lot of times by non-Catholics with a bit of suspicion, and I think it's important that we clarify that. Why do we hold Mary in such esteem? Why is she so important in the Catholic Church? It's important for me to think about it in terms of the question, where would you be without your mother? Where would you be? If your mother didn't exist, where would you be? And the answer to that question is, you wouldn't be here, because all of us came from a mother. And the shocking reality of Christianity is at the very heart and center of Christianity is something that we call the incarnation, that God became man, so that God truly became man without ceasing to become God, became true man, that he took on his humanity, took his flesh in the womb of Mary. So he received his humanity from Mary, so that for 9 months, Mary carried the Word made flesh, Jesus, in her very body, that she gave birth to the Word made flesh through her body, that she fed the Word made flesh with her body, that the Word made flesh, Jesus, as he grew, as he eventually would go around teaching, as he eventually would be arrested and suffer and crucify and die, that he gives up his body and blood to save us, that he received that body and blood from Mary. So again, the question, where would you be without your mother? And the same question is one that Jesus answers in his humanity, that he wouldn't have his humanity. And so with that in mind, everything when we talk about Mary as one that intercedes on our behalf, that we believe that Mary is as close to God as anyone could possibly be, not only here on earth, but now that she's with God in heaven especially. So when we ask Mary, pray for us. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. We're saying that because we know that she is close to God and she intercedes on our behalf.
Mary was never assumed into heaven bodily. She was never a perpetual virgin, we'll see a little later. Mary had four other sons and daughters. And those in the synagogue, when they heard Jesus speak, say, "Well, we know Mary, and we know his brothers and his daughters, and the daughters of Mary." So it was understood. Question. Why don't the Catholics believe the Bible if they profess to be Christians? Answer, they're not Christians, they're pagans with Christian names. Now, if you're a Catholic and that offends you, what you need to do instead of being offended, you need to ask yourself the question, what is the truth? And get to the Bible and find the truth, and that will save you from being angry because someone spoke the truth and it doesn't agree with what you heard all your life. Now let's continue on. But why is this happening to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? Isn't that interesting? The mother of my Lord. So that means she knew that what was going on with Mary had to be God being manifested in the flesh. Right? Why would she say a statement like that if she didn't? Verse 44, "For behold, as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the babe in my womb leaped in exultation," that is, in joy, rejoicing. "Blessed is she who has believed, for there is a fulfillment of the things spoken to her from the Lord." So she knew what was spoken to her by God. So Elizabeth had a lot of understanding, right? So they knew they were in the most historic development in the world. Now let's see what Mary says. Now Mary shows a good deal of knowledge of the Bible, and she shows that she understood a great deal as to what was going to happen. Let's read on. Verse 46, "Then Mary said, 'My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit is exalted in God my Savior.'" Why did she say that? She had to have known the very purpose of the child that was begotten in her womb, right? And her begotten son by the Father would later become her Savior. Now think about that. That means she had a lot of knowledge, right? Now I'm going through this to show you how stupid, how juvenile, how absolutely false and lying the whole narrative of Christmas that is put off into the world as a fantastic lie. the manger, the Christmas tree, all of that. And the date is absolutely wrong. So you request a harmony of the gospel in modern English, the life of Jesus Christ, and you will see all of this truth manifested for you by the parallel columns of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, this is really exciting to know. Think about it. Mary knew not every little detail, but she knew a lot. Verse 48, for he has looked upon the humble estate of his handmaid, for behold, from this time forward, all generations shall count me blessed. Now, how did she know that? Unless she was also told. You don't just stand up and make some proclamation of this magnitude without knowing that it's the truth. Because the Mighty One has done great things to me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is toward those who fear Him from generation to generation. So she knew this was going to go on in time. An amazing thing. He has worked strength with His arm. He has scattered the haughty and the imagination of their hearts. And that's exactly what these words do when you compare it to the false narrative of Christ and the birth of Christ in the world in fake Christianity. Now, let me ask you a question. Aren't you sick and tired of fake Christianity? Who speak nothing but lies in the name of Jesus Christ? The truth is, they use parts of the Bible, but they don't use the whole Bible. They go contrary to the very first thing that Jesus said, which we will see later when he was tempted by Satan the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Question, do you? You might say, well, how am I going to know the Word of God? It's written down. God didn't leave it for tradition passed on from word of mouth to word of mouth through centuries. That is a lie as well. Do you grasp how deceived this world is? Are you going to continue in the world? Or are you going to come out of the world and come to God? You get this book, Lord, What Should I Do? And our booklet, Why Christianity is Failing in America. And it is. Let's go on. He has put down rulers from thrones, and he has exalted the lowly. That's what's going to happen when Christ returns to set up the kingdom of God. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembering his mercy, exactly as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Whoa! She understood about Abraham. And as a matter of fact, the two sacrifices of Abraham pictured number one, the death of Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh in Genesis 15, and number two, his crucifixion in Genesis 22. She knew this. Amazing. And Mary dwelt with her about 3 months and returned to her house. Now let's see what happened when John the Baptist was born. Remember, his father was made dumb because he didn't believe the angel Gabriel that his wife would become pregnant, and he would be dumb until the time the child was born. Now, let's ask the question, how much did they know? We saw that Elizabeth said that Mary was the mother of my Lord. So she had to know quite a bit, right? What happened when John the Baptist was born? And we'll talk about a little later, how did Luke get all of these personal details to put in his gospel? They're not in the other gospels. Now, that's an interesting study in itself. We'll do that all of its own here in a little bit. Verse 57. Now Elizabeth's time was fulfilled that she should give birth, and she bore a son, and her neighbors and kinfolk heard that the Lord had magnified his mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass on the eighth day they came to circumcise the little child, and they were calling his name Zacharias, after the name of his father. But the angel said, you will call his name John. So, his mother answered and said, no, but he shall be named John. And they said to her, there is no one among your kinsfolk who is called by that name. Then they made signs to the father as to what he desired him to be named. Here's Zechariah, still dumb, couldn't speak. So what did they do? And after signaling for a writing tablet, he wrote. Now, pick that up, a writing tablet. They wrote things down, right? They were educated. They knew the word of God. He was a priest. He was educated. He understood. His wife was intelligent. Mary was intelligent. Joseph was intelligent, not the stupid foolishness that you see in the world. This is by God. So, he wrote saying, John, in his name, and they were all amazed. Now, the next verse is important because this will tell us how much his father knew about what was going to happen with this baby. What was he going to be? The son of a priest, born to a woman of the line of Aaron, a pure priest. Then his mouth was immediately opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he spoke praising God. Then fear came upon all those who dwelt around them, and in the entire hill country of Judea, all these things were being talked about, and all who heard these things laid them up in their hearts. They remembered them, saying, what will this little child be? And the hand of the Lord was with him, and Zacharias, his father, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. An amazing thing. God gave them the knowledge directly by prophecy of the whole mission of the life of John the Baptist. That's an amazing thing to understand. So here is what he said. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he has visited and has worked redemption for his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Exactly as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophet since the world began. Now, doesn't that tell you that he knew a lot about what was in the Bible? Since the world began, and remember, where is the first prophecy of the coming of Christ? Spoken by the one who became God manifested in the flesh. Genesis 3:15, about the coming crucifixion, which would be 4,000 years later. How's that for an accurate prophecy down through time? Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us, to fulfill the promise of mercy made to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that. Amazing. They knew the promises of Abraham. Do you? Do you know how that fits together? Do you understand why Christ had to die? First, he had to be born, of course, yes. Absolutely. But all of those things are with what Abraham did. Notice that. They were educated in the Word of God. They understood the Word of God up to that point, and with the Spirit leading them in prophecy, gave them deeper understanding of it. Verse 74, being saved from the hand of our enemies, we might serve him without fear, walking in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Now that is a description of what a true Christian is. Not the fake, little, simple, deceptive prayer that they give out. Oh, Jesus, I know you're my Savior, forgive me my sins. Bam, you're born again. That is a lie.
If you have never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, if you have never trusted him as your Savior, you can pray right now to do that. Just simply pray this prayer. God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son, and I want to invite him to come into my heart, into my life. I'm willing to trust him as my Savior and follow him as my Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. If you pray that prayer, call this number that's on the screen. Do it right now.
That is a lie. There's much more to it. You need to understand it. You need to write for our information on what is real baptism. It is a wonderful thing for you to understand and why it is necessary. You need to book the Harmony of the Gospels. Listen, most people out there in fake Christianity have been so far removed from the Word of God and the truth of God that they just don't know anything of substance of what the actual truth is and what the Bible says. And that's why we have church at home, because you're not going to hear it in the churches of this world. But you can in your home. Now notice, verse 76, what he knew. And you, little child, John the Baptist, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you shall go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Where did we first start with this in Malachi 3:1? Right? To give knowledge of salvation to his people and remission of their sins through the deep inner compassions of our God, in which the day spring from on high has visited us, to shine upon those who are sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death, to direct our steps into the way of peace. And the little child grew and was strengthened in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his appearing. Amazing, isn't it? Now, he didn't get out there. There are actually those who say, well, Jesus knew John the Baptist. No, he did not know John the Baptist. We'll see a little later. He didn't know until John the Baptist was fully grown and preaching for 6 months before he came to him to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John the Baptist didn't know who Jesus was until he was baptized and the heavens rolled back as a scroll and the Holy Spirit came as a dove upon him. He was there in the wilderness. I imagine he was studying the Word of God. I imagine God was preparing him for the work that he was to do as John the Baptist. And it was a mighty work indeed. So important was his work, because he was the one who would baptize God manifested in the flesh. That is a profound thing. You need to grasp that. You go back and read this again. Let's just take one verse for you to have an understanding of what Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, understood. Verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people. That's what the New Testament is all about. By remission of their sins, true remission of their sins, not to the temple through sacrifice, but from God himself from heaven above. Now then, be sure and write for the harmony of the Gospels, Lord, what should I do? And all about water baptism, all of those we have, so that you can come to the knowledge of truth. We send all of this out without any cost to you, because we have brethren that love you, that love God, that send their tithes and offering to pay for all of this in advance, so you can receive it. That's an amazing thing for you to grasp and understand. That's how God works. So until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home, and so long, everyone.